comforter and helper, and who reminds us that he has a message for all, always pointing us to Jesus Christ. Amen. A plus and good work on pronouncing all those names in the first reading. The reader said, I'm so glad you put that part in bold for the people. Jesus said, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. God's encouraging word for your hearts today. On Pentecost, we remember every year how the Holy Spirit makes this spectacular entrance into history in a way unlike anything he's done before. He certainly was a part of creation back in Genesis, but now he comes into the world in a very wonderful and meaningful way and with a purpose, which is why we need to ask, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit on earth, in my life, in yours, in the life of the church, in the life of anyone? Jesus, in the gospel today, he tells us how important this event is by saying that he will go away, and he needs to, so that he can send the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the helper. That sounds good. I like help. I like help unloading the dishes, mowing the lawn, paying the bills. That's a good kind of help. I like those things. But then again, there are things in my life, and perhaps in yours, that I don't want any help with. I don't want help feeding myself, bathing, or getting dressed. I'll do all that on my own, thank you very much. Don't need help there, got it covered. I certainly don't want anyone to help me with, oh my goodness, my personal weaknesses. I don't need anyone helping by pointing out my flaws and shortcomings. I get annoyed at people helping with anything that gets close to my ego. That's off limits. No need to help with anything that rubs up against how I think or see myself. Keep that to yourself. So hopefully this Holy Spirit, the helper, will help in the ways that I want help. And yet when I read what Jesus says, I hear something a little different. A whole lot different. See, I wanted a helper that Jesus sends to assist in finding my strengths and building upon that, kind of like a spiritual life coach. That sounds good. That's the kind of help I want to improve what's already great about Chris Fairbairn. But Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness. Convict the world? Hold up, Buttercup. This doesn't sound like what I'm looking for. Convict the world. What kind of helper is this? I want someone that will help me feel built up, propped up, happied up. I don't need anyone telling me about my life and judging it. I don't want anyone to be convicting my life in any way that makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't need conviction in my life. I just need to feel good about myself, feel good about what I do and what I say and what I contribute to society and to being a good citizen, a good person of faith as I see it. I don't want any help that changes the direction in life that I've chosen for myself. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and righteousness. I get it. Jesus was saying this all along, wasn't he? All through Lent and before, that the Son of Man must die and 3 days later be rise again. And he promised that he would come back again. We've been hearing this message ever since before he was born. Jesus came to die, to rise again, and he does that with purpose. But this Holy Spirit's help doesn't always sound comfortable. Well, I get it. Jesus didn't come to make me comfortable. Jesus' goals aren't my goals. Jesus has a meaning and a purpose and a direction for my life that's most often going to be very different than what I would have for my life. Jesus' goals are to save me. And salvation is uncomfortable. You know why? Because salvation admits I need saving from something. And what is that something? It is my brokenness. It is my sinful nature. It is worse than just my simple quirks and flaws that get annoying to other people. It is something much deeper, a core problem. The Bible actually says, I'm the enemy of God. You're the enemy of God. And that I live according to a standard that is well beyond God's expectations for my life. And because of that, I am separated from God. So I really do need a helper. Not to point out the good in my life, but to create the good of Christ in my life. Amen? Because it's only when Christ is in me that I can overcome the world, because he overcame the world. It is only Christ and faith in him that makes me a new creation, no longer dead to sin, but now alive to Christ. And now I'm beginning to understand why the Holy Spirit was an important part of the Christian church, of the Christian individual life, because he comes to convict the world. The Helper comes to convict the world concerning sin, Jesus said, because they do not believe in me. The Spirit did not come to pat you on the head every time you mess up and say, that's okay, dear, it'll be okay, you don't have to worry about it. Rather, the Spirit shows you who you truly are. The Spirit convicts you of your true nature, that you are that person against God, left on your own, apart from baptism and the work of the Spirit in your life. That you are worse than an enemy. You are spiritually dead, not alive. You're like a zombie in the sense of, without Christ, there's nothing good in you. You're rotting, crimson stains of sin that just paint your whole life, unless washed by the blood of Jesus. And so you do need to have that Holy Spirit help convict you of your sin. That awareness of who I am, that's the diagnosis, that I don't measure up. The Spirit shows that basic sin of the world that refuses to believe in Jesus and the reality of sin. You look at our culture, you look at people all the time, they'd rather deny and ignore the reality of sin or sin in their life because that means I'm being judged by some outside standard rather than judging myself. I like how I judge myself, but I don't want someone else judging me. And the Holy Spirit is there to do that, to convict the world, to convict me and convict you of the reality of sin, which then moves us to the need of the sin healer, the one who gives us that pardon and peace and removes the punishment of sin. We want the Holy Spirit to convict us of that sin and clearly reveal it in our life, often by using the Ten Commandments as a mirror to say, this is God's standard, how do you measure up? We always fall short. Thank God that he also goes on to convict us. The Holy Spirit as helper convicts the world concerning righteousness. Because what does the world do in its pop psychology culture? It says its own self-righteousness is enough. I don't need someone else to impart righteousness on me. I'm good enough just as I am. There's no need for Jesus' blood, no need for his righteousness. Because the world believes it's good on its own merits. It's good in its own way, by its own standards. And that's often the lie that Satan tries to convince the world is, whose standard are you going to point to measure if you're good enough, if you're righteous? Is it just because you can help the old lady cross the street and you speak nice to your mom? It goes way beyond that. We need the righteousness that only Christ can impart to us from the empty cross and empty tomb, from heaven above. A righteousness of his blood that covers our sin, that atonement that covers our weakness and failings and shortcomings and flaws and the core nature we are as an old Adam, broken, and giving us that replacement righteousness that is Christ's perfect life. That's what we need to show that Christ is good enough for us. And that's the simple hard truth the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of. That it needs a righteousness outside of itself. Because if we always rest on our own righteousness, we'll begin to feel that any path will lead us in the right direction, as though all roads lead to Mount Fuji and some better life after this one. But Jesus said, there is only one way to the Father, only one way to heaven, only one way to perfection. It is through the cross and empty tomb, being covered by the blood of that perfect Lamb who was sacrificed for us. And so the Holy Spirit turns out it's not a gentle life coach, is he? He's more like a Marine drill instructor who's just going to strip you bare of any pretense that you are good enough. That's really what the Holy Spirit is meant to do. He is also counselor and comforter, but he is first the helper to convict you of your sin and righteousness, the lack of it. The Spirit shows that you are a sinner, that you're not righteous, and that you really are under God's judgment. That you deserve his wrath, you deserve that punishment, you deserve that separation that is a part of who you are as that zombie dead sinner, hostile enemy of God. But then the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. Again, he is that comforter. The Holy Spirit shows you your Savior, hanging on the cross in your place, taking your sin, giving you his righteousness. The Spirit shows that you're being judged through Jesus, who is judged in your place so that you are not judged. It shows that Christ has set you free. And the Holy Spirit reminds you that you are loved, truly loved by the Lord Almighty. Amen? You are righteous and redeemed in Jesus Christ. That is more than just a gift. It is a sign of God's personal love for each of you. And perhaps I haven't asked it lately enough. If Chris Fairbairn were the only sinner in all of creation, and all of you handsome, beautiful people were sinless and didn't need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, would Jesus Christ have gone to the cross for the one sinner, Chris Fairbairn? Yes. Amen. But he goes there for all of us, personally, individually. For God so loved the world, but he loved you, and by name he has claimed you, and in baptism marked you by Christ, the one crucified for you. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. All this helping started long before Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit, the Helper, creates an uncomfortable Christianity. A Christianity that first strips you bare and then covers you with that perfect life of Jesus Christ. That gives you that washing of peace over every moment of your life. Whether you're in the valley or the green pastures and quiet waters, that Good Shepherd leads you and he died for you and he gives you new life. The Spirit tells you that it's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Amen? Remember that. It's about Jesus for you. And Pentecost shows, as we saw so many there that day from many different cities and towns, that the message of hope of Jesus Christ is for all people. For every tribe, language, or orientation, or background, or culture, Jesus died for every sinner. No matter who they are, how bad they are, how bad we say they are, Christ died for the least of these. And he loves them dearly. The Helper's mission is always to point us, to point them to Jesus, to give them the joy of knowing that they are not abandoned, they are not alone. Because Christ's last words were, I'm with you always. I'm with you always to the very end of the age, to that final breath. I will defend you before my Father on that judgment day and say, these are my children, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ, these are the lambs and sheep for which I have died. And I declare them not guilty because I paid the price at the cross for them, Heavenly Father. And they are yours. And welcome to your inheritance. Welcome to the crown of life that is yours as we embrace our loved ones and walk this earth again and dance at the resurrection when Christ comes back and completes that promise that he is with us always to the very end of the age. So may the Holy Spirit always continue to work in you, to challenge you, to change you, and to fan into flame that fire that is Christ and his grace in each of you. Amen? Amen? To God be the glory. Go in peace and serve with courage. Amen.